This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Nearly every Cincinnati neighborhood has a community council, a group of volunteers chosen by residents to complete projects, engage with outside interests, and interface with city government on issues that impact their communities. But recent battles within Cincinnati City Hall over special property tax funds called TIFs, development choices, and zoning issues, among others, have called into question how much say these groups have over decisions that affect their neighborhoods. So what do community councils do, and how much say does the city really give them? Joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss are Over the Rhine Community Council President Maurice Wagner. Maurice, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thanks for having me.
Mount Lookout Community Council President Dan Privost is also with us. Dan, welcome. Do we have Dan?
Thanks, Michael.
Awesome. And East Price Hill Improvement Association President Sheila Rosenthal. Sheila, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Also joining us today is Cincinnati City Council member and Neighborhoods Committee Chair Jan Michelle Kearney. Councilwoman Kearney, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Hello, everybody.
And you can join our conversation at 513-419-7100. Dan, let's start with you. You've been on the program before representing the Mount Lookout Community Council, and we were talking at that time about some development in your neighborhood. There was some concern about developers buying properties, tearing down houses there, splitting the lots up into smaller parcels and that sort of thing. Can you explain to us the role of community councils and their effectiveness when taking concerns from their neighborhoods to the steps of City Hall?
Sure, Michael. Community councils tend to function as the our community members' first stop when they have issues, especially when they involve some relationship with the city, such as development. We hear from whenever there's anything from a pothole to a construction site issue or a proposed development, certainly we're hearing from our community members, and we try to act as an advocate for those community members. Just because we have been able over time to build some relationships with both city staff as well as some of the council members, we feel like we can be more effective in that advocacy role.
So did you find that you have been effective in that advocacy role?
I'd say it's a mixed bag in terms of our, success rate, if you will. I think we've been effective in making sure that the city has heard the concerns of our community. Obviously we aren't the ones setting policy and making the final decision. So, that's not our job. That's not our role. But I think we've been effective at least in making sure that the voices of our community members are heard.
Maurice Wagner is Over the Rhine Community Council President. Maurice, your organization has fought City Hall for a while over development issues, and one imminent development at Liberty and Elm Streets, I believe that's being discussed at City Hall on today even. So can you talk a little bit about the role your organization has played in dealing with City Hall and development in Over the Rhine?
Our organization has had a rough time dealing with City Hall and development in Over the Rhine. We go and we talk to the council people and let them know what the concerns of the residents is and how we like development to happen in our community. And it seems to seem like we're blowing hot air when we speak, because development continues to go on without the concerns of the residents, such as the Liberty and Elm project. And the community wants affordable housing in it. But then still, we are not able to negotiate with the developers, and nor are the people that we voted for actually hearing our voices about how we feel about how we want development to happen in our community. So it's been very difficult dealing with city council down at City Hall. Seems like the mayor just takes over the neighborhood.
But in terms of the neighborhood itself, Maurice, how are you able to build consensus in that neighborhood in order to represent the neighborhood, capital TN, I suppose, when you do go to City Hall?
Well, we build consensus because we got a lot of new neighbors in the community also. From the way it looks, it seems like they wanted diversity in the community also. And we listen to what they have to say, and they come on board. And a lot of those people are professionals, and they are, you know, they know a lot about political science and all. And they get on the team with us, and a lot of them take charge, and they go down and correspond with City Hall, trying to get the message across about how we would like our neighborhood to look. And from that point on, it just catches on, and a consensus just starts to build from there.
Sheila Rosenthal is the president of the East Price Hill Improvement Association. Sheila, can you give us some understanding of your organization's dealings with City Hall and the effectiveness of your organization in that respect as you see it?
Well, we work with City Hall in many ways on many things. We are, as a community council, there's a lot of jobs that we do. We develop community plans. We work with the police department. We work with the planning department. We work with parks and recreation, the health department. We work with many city departments. And then we also will engage with city administration and city council when we need to.
513-419-7100 is the number to call if you have questions or comments and want to join this conversation. Sheila, what are the top issues in East Price Hill, and how are you going about advocating for them on behalf of your neighbors with members of city council and the local government?
Well, in our community, development is less of an issue. We're still very much focused on issues of safety. And so, like right now, one of our greatest priorities is traffic calming, and we're working pretty heavily with the Department of Transportation and Engineering to make some infrastructure changes in our community. At this point, we're pretty much engaged with that department within the city. But when we have a plan and when we're moving forward with something, which has been actually a very long time in the making, then we will engage with City Council to garner their support and so forth.
You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We're joined today by Over the Rhine Community Council President Maurice Wagoner, Mount Lookout Community Council President Dan Prevost, and East Price Hill Improvement Association President Sheila Rosenthal. We're also joined by Cincinnati City Councilmember and Neighborhoods Committee Chair Jan Michelle Kearney. Councilwoman Kearney, as far as your purview from the Neighborhoods Committee, how do you evaluate the relationship between City Hall and its neighborhoods? You're still a relatively new member of council.
Yes. Well, you know, first of all, let me say the volunteer part is something we can't emphasize enough. So these are really dedicated community members who give of their time and their energy and their expertise. And we really could not run the city effectively without our community council. So we really appreciate them. I think we don't tell them enough. The community engagement is definitely an issue. It's something we have to do better with. I can understand Mr. Wagner's viewpoint that he feels that sometimes the voices of the community are not heard. And so part of the issue is really the process, which we need to revise. And I can just give you one example. Liberty and Elm is a perfect example. That's coming before us in about an hour or so. But, you know, what happens with these development projects is, you know, as city council members, we set the policy, but we don't negotiate deals. And so often we don't know a lot about the deals unless we drop in on a community council meeting where the developer is actually presenting, which is, you know, always very, very helpful. Or, you know, we're at a planning commission meeting where the information is being presented. But often by the time it gets to us, it's gone through maybe a year of planning, maybe 2 years, you know, some length of time. And then it comes before committee and then we have to vote on it. And during this time, we hear from the community that the development program does not include what they want. For example, Liberty and Elm, the community members really do want affordable housing. They want that to be a part of it. And they spoke to the developer about it, I'm sure. You know, I understand that. But we didn't say as city council, this is something that has to happen. And so there's that disconnect between what the community is saying and the policy that we have failed to set. And so that's, you know, that's the big problem. The developer for Liberty and Elm, when they did come before committee, and I, you know, I have to really give a shout out to Vice Mayor Smitherman, because he said, you know, in the committee, well, you know, the community is asking for affordable housing and what you're presenting to us doesn't have any. Why don't we postpone this vote? You go back to the drawing board, work with our Department of Community and Economic Development, and come forth with a plan that includes affordable housing. And so while the plans before us today, there's several versions, they're not what the community really wanted, but they're better than nothing. And so we have moved that needle. And, you know, secondly, let me just say, you know, communities need affordable housing. We're missing 28,000 units here in the city, and our neighborhoods are very segregated. So I'm asking that we just mandate it, you know, instead of going through this project by project, why don't we say every project where you want municipal benefits like TIFs and commercial tax abatements, you include some percentage that we need to decide of affordable housing. Let's just make that mandated so that we don't have to wait until development projects get to us. And then we go, wait a minute, where's the affordable housing? We know you've been working on this for, you know, a year or two, but now that you're here, we don't see what it is that we know our communities need. So we have to do better about setting that policy, and we're going to move forward with that.
We'll note that we did send the invitation to the city manager's office to participate in this segment. They acknowledged receipt of the invitation, but did not provide a guest for us today. Councilman Kearney, there are as many neighborhoods in Cincinnati as there are weeks in a year. And so there's
52,
a lot. Yeah,
yep.
And they all have different needs all made up of, you know, all come together to make up this city. Is there any challenge with balancing those needs with the overall needs of the city proper? For example, if you need to build up the payroll tax base, for example, you've got to land a company somewhere. How do you balance the need to place that business somewhere in the neighborhood, perhaps in one section of town at the expense of the other?
Well, so we do have 52 neighborhoods, and let me just give a plug for our neighborhoods committee, just real quickly, because one thing we're doing is we're doing a tour of all the neighborhoods, inviting all the community councils and the development corporations to present and talk, you know, brag about their neighborhoods, tell us like all the highlights, because all of them have like really wonderful highlights to share, but also share the challenges. And so one thing that's really important is that community councils and other groups in the neighborhoods come to us and say, you know, this is working, these things aren't working, these are things we need. And so as we go through the budget process, we can start prioritizing according to what our neighborhoods are telling us they need. And so, as you know, we're moving toward that budget process now. And so that's part of it, is gathering all of the information and putting it into priority in the budget process to make sure those needs are met.
Before we run out of time, I want to turn back to our representatives from the neighborhood councils, and we'll move to Dan from the Mount Lookout Community Council. Dan, do you find that the neighborhood councils work together at all? Can you talk about what relationship might exist between the different community councils?
Sure. And I think, you know, that's something that I've seen change a little bit over the handful of years that I've been involved. And I think it goes to, you know, part of it is just up to each individual community council to reach out to their neighbors. And certainly on the development front, that has been something we've been doing, because, you know, some of the issues that we've seen over the last several years are the same that, you know, Hyde Park, Columbia Tusculum, Oakley have, you know, have all seen too. And so we have built up those relationships and worked together. And I think a great example of that would be earlier this year, where modifications to the tax abatement policy were brought before council. And, you know, between the individual neighborhoods working together, but also Invest in Neighborhoods, who helped bring some, you know, even broader coalition of community councils together. I think we saw, you know, some of that power of the communities rising up to the council and resulting in, you know, some modest changes, at least.
Sheila Rosenthal is the president of the East Price Hill Improvement Association. Sheila, do you agree with Dan there? Do you think that the neighborhoods do a good job of working together?
I think we can do a good job. I think we can do a better job, and I think we're working on doing a better job. I know Invest in Neighborhoods and, you know, a significant number of community councils are working together, and I expect that we'll see more of that. In the past, it's typically been issue-driven. If a community shared an issue with a neighboring community or, you know, a concern over a particular topic, they might work together. But generally speaking, there in the past, there really hasn't been a mechanism to do that. And Invest in Neighborhoods is actually helping provide that.
Maurice Wagner is president of the Over the Rhine Community Council. Maurice, what's your assessment of the way the different neighborhood councils work together to support each other?
We all can do a better job at that. We've had issues with the West End over time, Pendleton neighborhood and Mount Arbin. But over the last couple of years, we kind of bridging the gap there and trying to build relationships with each other, because in our community and over the Rhine, one neighborhood development affects another and so on and so on. So we constantly trying to build that bridge with other communities with the help of Invest in Neighborhoods.
You know, Marisa, with a lot of the national attention that Cincinnati has gotten for its revitalization and all of its new businesses and its new nightlife and the streetcar and that sort of thing, much of that is centered around your neighborhood. Has there been any trouble working with other neighborhood councils because of all of the attention that is shown upon Over the Rhine these days? And does that impact your ability to address more serious concerns?
Yes, it has. With the revitalization that's going on in our community with all those amenities that you just mentioned, it appears that, you know, we stand out amongst the communities that surround us. And it sets us apart to where they find it hard to build a relationship, because they say that Over the Rhine have y'all's, let us have ours. You know, we didn't intervene with y'all development that's going on in y'all community, so won't you stay out of our business also, you know? And that makes it hard for us to develop the relationship with them, because we didn't make all the decisions in Over the Rhine for the revitalization. And we wanted to be a part of making the decisions, and we wanted the other surrounding communities to be a part of it. But since it got so out of hand, the other communities feel as though we made the decisions and we need to mind our business, and they need to, you know, make the decisions for their communities, and we need to stay out of it.
Councilwoman Jan Michelle Kearney is also with us. Councilwoman, you said the Neighborhoods Committee is taking a tour of all 52 neighborhoods. I know that you can't get the full experience because of the pandemic, but is there anything that you've learned about this city through its neighborhoods that perhaps you didn't know before you were in the role you're in now?
You know, there's so much I couldn't even begin to tell you. So every neighborhood that presents teaches us something new. And you're right, because of the pandemic, it's by Zoom. I wish we could be there in person, but that's going to happen soon. But every neighborhood has its own character and its own perks and pluses. I mean, it's really, Cincinnati is just fantastic. And so it's been really a real honor as the neighborhoods present, just to hear about all the great things they're doing. And again, I can't emphasize volunteerism enough. You know, these community members are volunteers. They don't get paid. And Maurice and Sheila and Dan can tell you, I mean, it's a ton of work and a lot of time, and they cover, you know, every issue one can think of, from, you know, like crime and housing and business development, you know, everything, all the good, the bad, and the ugly. And they have to deal with all of that. It's really amazing to me how much work is being done. And I'm just really proud of all of our neighborhoods.
That's Councilwoman Jan Michelle Kearney, who's been with us via Zoom. We've also been joined today by Over the Rhine Community Council President Maurice Wagner, Mount Lookout Community Council President Dan Prevost, and East Price Hill Improvement Association President Sheila Rosenthal. So Maurice and Dan and Sheila and Councilwoman Kearney, thanks to all of you for being with us. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much.
And a very quick programming note. You're listening right now. If you look at the clock and it says it's about 12:57 in your car or in your room, this is the live broadcast. Cincinnati Edition airs live every day at noon. But in case you didn't know and you missed the live broadcast, we do replay in the 9 o'clock hour on weekdays. So if you're looking at your clock right now and it's 9:57, you are listening to the repeat. So occasionally you'll hear us talk about things that are coming up today at City Hall when we talked about it earlier in the day, if you're listening in the evening. And if that's the case, you simply go to WVXU.org and you can find our continuing coverage of all of those issues at Cincinnati City Hall and the Hamilton County governments and the surrounding region. And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition, either at noon or at nine. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. This theme music was composed by Rob Fetters. Again, archives online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.